Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. Much mahalo. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and I am the founder of the Sport Karate Museum Archives in Sugarland, Texas, and the founder of the Legends, which is an annual event every year in honor of the pioneers and the legends of our sport karate community. We are in your home every Tuesday night, and I want to say thank you. But before I introduce my special guest tonight and my special crew, better known as the Five, I get to introduce the man that's put me on the air for almost 10 years. He's an incredible man. He's that vision. He is the president of the AMAA Network and also the founder and publisher of Elite Publications. I'm very honored to introduce him as my producer, a good man, a good martial artist, a champion, Hunty Jesse Barnes. Are you there, sir?
I am, sir. Yes. How are you doing?
Well, I'm getting better at introducing you. After 10 years, you think I've become pretty good at it.
Well, you do good, sir. We're professionals.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you know, I get excited about talking to you every week because you always got something new or something innovative. Now, I know that next year I'm going to be honoring, we're going to have a youth conference at the Legends. I know you'll be honoring the youth too. But you also got a magazine that's very popular now that's coming out. Tell me about the magazine, and I'm excited because I'm also a contributing writer to it. But tell us about the magazine you're doing right now.
Yes, sir. We have we actually have several magazines. We have one right now. We have several that's going to be coming out. The magazine that we have now, which is a Amazon bestseller, hot new release publication, and it's called the Martial Arts Extraordinaire Magazine. And the focus of the magazine is ties into the legacy of the people that we have in the book. You know, that's another tool, another way that we market them and get their names out there by being featured in the book. You know, we have articles in there, martial arts training articles, motivational articles, publishing articles. So this book, the magazine is really packed with a lot of really great stuff. You know, we just received on yesterday notification that we have received the International Impact Award. That is
an organization
that is an awards author organization. So we have just received for biography books. We have another nomination in there for best design, but we just received on yesterday notification that we are the winners of the biography books for the International Impact. So, you know, that's a really, really big deal. You know, the Chuck Norris book, it received that same award, for impact. You know,
By the way,
that
Carlos,
these books are having.
I got to talk to Carlos today and tell him about, you know, the London Bump Hall of Fame, which, by the way, congratulations. You were inducted this year into the European Bump Hall of Fame, and so was Chuck and Gina and, you know, Mike Stone. So you went in with a good group. Now, I want to ask you another question, sir. I've gotten a few emails, and they're inquiring, so I'll just ask you, what does it take to maybe get the Sport Card Museum on the cover of your magazine? What would we have to do to get that done?
Well, I tell you what, after this edition in January, we'll see can we do that. You had a great event in Texas, and we'd love to take them. Love to do that. In fact, wanted to submit something
to
the World Martial Arts
Museum. I'd like to explain to our listeners our journey, the journey that Humpty Jesse Bowen, the Sport Karate Museum, and Professor Gary Lee has done for the past 10 years. I think that's a story right there within itself. But, you know, talking about all the incredible people that we put together through the years, through the pioneers and the icons of across the country. And now with you being put into the European Hall of Fame and myself and Chuck and Mike Stone and a few others, we can conquer Europe now. We've conquered America, Humpty, with our radio show. Now let's conquer Europe. Let's get after Europe now. I'm just talking.
I agree.
Sir, that's all. You bet. Now, I want to ask you another question. You did an amazing thing a couple of years ago. You put together a store for your books and for the magazines, but also you feature some items just particularly for the Sport Karate Museum. Tell my listeners about that too, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. So if someone would like to get to the store that we have, you know, holiday stuff and T-shirts and things up there that's available for that, but we'd love to come back and develop your store for you just for the museum, which everybody can go directly there, and we'll chat about that. But you can go to the Fusu and the Martial Arts, and if you go to our website, it's going to look different because the new website is up for promoting Charlotte. So there we have a link on the website, which you click on it, and there's a category there for the Sport Karate Museum. So you can just click on that link and go in there, and the rings are gone, but the books are available, and Amazon has a special offer on the books where the books are $24.95. Amazon has a special that you can get the books for $5. And the book has moved up to the Amazon bestseller list. So in the biography books, I think it's number 27 on that list. So the book is only $5, and the more people that go online and purchase the book, that's the more higher we can go up in that getting that label of being a best-selling. And you're already, sir, now qualified as a best-selling author. You can use that.
Super. Well, the other thing too is really cool is that you have a vision. I say that every week, and I mean that. You have a vision. What you know, done with the Who's Who books, what you do with the magazine, what you do with the museum. Now, what's in the future besides the youth? We're going to honor the youth next year, but what's the future for any publication? And I want to say that too. As you say every week, everybody's got a story that needs to be told. That's all. So if anybody wants to get a book out or write a book about themselves, how will they get in touch with you, Elite Publications?
Well, sir, it's pretty easy. Now, that's the name of the website, is elitepublications.org. They can go there and book an appointment, and we can sit down and work with them and help them to define what their story is. And, you know, and that's what we really want to do, because your story is very, very important. Now, I've had two companies that have reached out to me wanting to buy rights to one of the books. And like I said, we're still considering those things. But just like for, you know, people, if you're writing a book and you write a great book, even though you're self-published, somebody wants to, you know, write a screenplay, or somebody wants to purchase your rights to your book. So there's just so many options that we're still, you know, experimenting, you know, with. And the book is a very, you know, valuable. It's really valuable. So, you know, a book can be a six-figure revenue for someone. And we want to help people to learn how to elevate their lifestyle, elevate themselves by their story, and really get it out there. And these are the things that we specialize in. So please let us know if you're interested in being a co-author in one of our books or writing your own book, even if it's something, you know, really short and really simple, just geared to your family or just something you want to do. Just let us know.
Super. Shoot them your phone number so they can call you personally, and you just tell them that, you know, that Professor Gary Lee of the Smoke Auto Museum recommended them. What would they, how would they get in touch with you, Hansi Bowen?
You know, like I said, the easiest way, if you can remember Elite Publications, is go to the website. That information is there, but they can call me at 919-618-8075, or they can email me at info@elitepublications.org. And if you go to the website, you can just book an appointment time for us to sit down and talk.
Well, thank you. And a really big thank you for who you are and what you've done for the museum and your vision. I appreciate you so much, what you've done. And I can't wait to see what happens in the next few years, because I know we got some incredible ideas together. And we're going to make them happen. So thank you, Hansi Bowen. You have a great evening, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my producer, Hansi Jesse Bowen from North Carolina, one of our visionaries of the Sport Crowder Museum. Now, tonight, I have a very special guest. This man, Collie Bum, I've known him for a long time because I'm an adopted Texan. I know most people know him from Hawaii, and I am. I left there when I was 14 years old, moved into Sam Chapman's basement of his karate school, lived there for a few years, and then I moved to Texas and was adopted by Mr. J. Pat Burleson and George Minshew and a few others. But I met this man back then, and he was one of those up-and-coming youngsters. He's not a youngster anymore, but he was one of the best karate kids we had in Texas back in the day. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm talking about my friend from Dallas, Texas, Mr. Steve Selby. Steve, you there?
I'm here, sir.
Where's my sushi?
Well, I think you ate it last time.
Yeah, there's a joke there, listeners. Steve and I, whenever we're together, we normally find the closest sushi bar, and we'll go have dinner. But, Steve, yeah, let's talk a little bit about your history, a little bit about Texas. Who'd you make black belt under?
What did you say? Who's what?
Who did you make black belt under?
Under black belt under great master Alan Steen and his following. And that was that bunch that I was with.
How old were you when you made black belt, Steve?
When I made black belt, how old was I anyway? I was 18, I think, when I made black belt.
18. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you were one of those up-and-coming youngsters in Texas underneath the great tutelage of people like Mr. Tony, Alan Steen, Mr. Burleson, all those incredible Texas guys, George Minshew, Skip Amon.
Oh, yeah.
But what was it like being around and training with some of those people I just mentioned? Team like Skipper Mullins. So, I mean, you know what Bill told me one time when I interviewed Bill Wallace? I said, Bill, is there anybody you ever modeled after? And Bill said, yes. I said, who was it? He said, I used to model myself after a man named Skipper Mullins. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. Skipper was an amazing kid. I saw him do something one time. I said, what did you see him do? He said, well, he stood at least a basketball goal. He did a straight-up side kick and kicked the rim. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, I saw him do that. And after that, I wanted to model myself after Skipper Mullins. That came from Bill Superfoot Wallace. Isn't that cool? That's Texas, baby. That's Texas. South. You under Mr. Steed. Mr. Steed is a great man without a doubt. The father of Taekwondo in Texas was the first black belt, the main black belt underneath the Grandmaster Drew Ree. Now, back in those days, now a man I mentioned earlier, James Tony, God rest in peace, James. James was a good friend. Now, did you train Mr. Tony at all, too?
Absolutely. He brought me up under the more refined Ape KBBA, so he grew me during that time, but to bring me up to the higher levels of AKBBA, and I was just really honored to be one of his students because he was the guy who brought everything together again when it was always going haywire and somebody else is doing it a different way, and he would put us together, and it didn't matter who it was, he'd just tell you shut up and go with it. He was a great man, very great man, so he took me up to Eighth Dan, so that was a real honor for me, you know.
Steve, I got to tell you my favorite James Tony story. He's a lovely story. Remember the Sun Belt that Tim Curry's term out in Tim Curry's tournament, the Sun Belt Open?
Yeah.
Okay. I was fighting Outrageous Jones. Remember Outrageous? Some DP Hill studio. Anyway, James Tony was running the center, and Outrageous and I were fighting. And DP Hill, he's so funny. God bless DP, rest in peace. TV so good. Says, Outrageous, you're not going to listen to me. I'm going to go coach Kelly Lee. I'm going to go over there and coach Kelly Lee. He left Outrageous. He left Calvin Cross, and he went around to the other ring, pushed George Minshew out of the way. He said, get away here, George. I'm going to coach Kelly Lee. I'm going to coach Kelly Lee. And Outrageous, when he said that, Outrageous jumped up. And then Justin back kicked me in my nose. Blood went everywhere. Now, this is before headgear was allowed. I think it was 84 when headgear was mandatory in Texas. Anyway, I didn't have headgear on. Blood went everywhere. James Tony, I'll never forget it. He went and grabbed the towel, threw it to me. He says, young man, welcome to Texas. Didn't this qualify outrageous? If the Outrageous beat me that day, didn't it qualify for busting my nose and blood going to work? Just threw me a towel. He says, Gary, they call me Gary. He's a young man. Welcome to Texas. And that was my favorite James Tony story. Now I got one more. Before Mr. Tony passed away, Gary and I used to go visit him quite a bit, him and Mrs. Tony, you know, Connie. And we went over there one day, and I sat with him for about 3 hours, just talking and talking and talking. And then as I was leaving, he says, Gary, come into my bedroom. I said, yes, sir. And he goes underneath his bed, pulls out a suitcase, Steve, and he pulls out a black belt and his uniform and all the old, you know, AKBBA patches on his stuff. And he looked at it, he says, Gary, this is one of my most prized possessions. I said, yes, sir. He says, I want you to have it from the museum. And he gave me his uniform and his black belt. And I took it with me. And here's the best part. I was walking outside to my car, put Gary into the car, and he walks out. And he stays there with me in my car, talking to me for another hour. God, I miss that man. He was such a good man, Steve.
He was.
Now, he was him and Richard Jenkins, I believe, to help, and you helped develop the Alan Steen tree that I have of the museum. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I treasure that, too. That's another story. Mr. Steen, of course, I wrote there with Mr. Jenkins to Mr. Steen's 60th birthday party. And when I got there, Mr. Steen said, Gary, would you honor me and shake my hand, shake the hands, everybody walks in. Of course, everybody was there. Joe Louis, June Reed, Chuck Norris. So I got to shake hands with everybody there as they walked through the door. But next to the door was that incredible tree of Alan Steen's that you guys built. And I had to introduce that and tell people why their names weren't on there. And you know what's funny is because when you guys did that, you worked your butt off to call people over and over and over and over again. Some people didn't call back. And when they didn't call back, their names weren't on that tree. And I've explained to people, but it was fun. It was fun. Now, there was a guy that we lost a few years ago, too. His name was, remember Terry Morris?
Yeah.
Terry took your tree, the tree that you guys invented, and he put it digital on a computer. Did you know that?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember there was some, like anything, I mean, it's not always perfect. When people, you know, copy it, it's kind of watered down and same. So that was a little bit of I don't even want to get into that.
Well, this is called Uncensored Parts Unknown, so we won't get into it. But I do want to get into one thing that's really important to me. Back a few years ago, as I made a living, one part of my living was being a professional bass fisherman. And I was, you know, when you're a professional bass fisherman, you have to plan your tournament sometimes 2 years ahead of time. Well, I'd plan my tournaments and my schedule, my budget and everything. But then Jim Harrison, the great Jim Harrison, rest in peace, called me up and says, Gary, I got something I want to do just for the museum. And I said, what is it, Jim? He says, well, it was a belt that was given by Master June Reed to Alan Steen. And Alan Steen wore it. And then he gave it to Mike Stone. Mike Stone wore it. Then Mike Stone gave it to Mr. Burleson. And he wore it. And then he gave it to he gave it to me, Gary. Jim Harrison was talking to me. I said, well, Mr. Harrison, that's really cool, man. And he goes, well, Gary, I want you to have it. I said, Mr. Harrison, I mean, that I don't know what to say. He says, well, I treasure this belt more than I do a Lamborghini. I mean, anything. I mean, this is the most important thing to me. Can you come get it? World Black Belt is doing a big event for me, and I want to present it to you. I go, well, Ms. Harrison, I've got a fishing tournament, and I can't really break that momentum. But I tell you what I'll do. I've got a really good friend, one of my best friends named Steve Selby. Would you give it to him, please? And he'll present it to me, and he'll represent the museum. And that's what you did, Brother Steve. You received that belt, that amazing belt from Mr. Harrison, the World Wide Belt. And I'm looking at that belt right now. It's encased, and we display it every year at the Legends. And, you know, think about the decades of the champions, Mr. Steen, Master Ree, Mike Stone, Mr. Burleson, and Mr. Harrison, that wore that belt. And it looks like a little white thread. It's incredible that it's still here. But you receiving that belt, Steve, that solidified the fact that you are one of my best friends. Thank you for doing that. You know, I've never said it publicly, but I'm going to say it right now. Thank you for doing that. And, you know, it's all over YouTube. You know, they filmed that when you received it. And it's on YouTube. You go to YouTube and just type in World Black Belt Presentation, Jim Harrison's tribute. It'll come up. But thank you, Steve, for doing that. What was it like
when
you felt like that?
That went through Bruce Lee back in the day.
What,
so,
back in the day?
That? Yeah, that's, I said when Bruce Lee wore that belt, that way back.
I remember that. I don't remember Bruce Lee wearing that belt. I thought it went from Alan Steen to Mike Stone, Mike Stone to Mr. Burleson to Jim Harrison, then Mr. Harrison to me. So I never heard about Bruce Lee wearing that belt. That's new.
Okay. Well, you know, who knows? I remember that. It was, you know, one down, the next down, and so forth. And I'm not sure if Mr. Norris was a part of that put that belt on. I'm not sure, but he was there when we passed it off.
He didn't put it on. He was one of the guys that got it. But I've got one of Mr. Norris's belts. He gave it to me years ago. But you know that belt was given to me personally by Mr. Harrison. That's one of the most treasured. In fact, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and go to the treasures page on the index, and you can see that belt. You can see the signatures, and you can see that belt on the web page. And now, I can't talk to you about mentioning one of my best friends who you saw this past couple weeks ago, Mr. Tim Kirby. How you doing, man? Have you seen Tim around at all?
Tim is he's still alive and well. Yeah. So we came
and
up together.
And you were also friends with another friend of mine named Steve Sosa. Steve Sosa, he's gone now too, but you were friends with Steve also, I remember. And Chico Goldman and all those crazy guys.
Oh, yeah.
From the Sun Belt, yeah. Yes, you were. Now, you had a pretty good technique. I used to love to watch you throw a jump spin back kick, the same kick that outrageous busted my nose with. Who taught you that jump spin back kick, Mr. Tony or Mr. Steen?
Who taught me that jump turn back kick?
Yeah.
Goddamn, who did I get that from? I practice it a lot of times, and there's just a lot of people out there doing some things, and so that was pretty cool, and I liked it, and I got, you know, because I got to, I was fast, and I got a lot of I've got a lot of momentum on that, and I knocked more people out with that damn thing than any other thing anything else. Not such that I knocked everybody else out, but back then at that time, I was you know, finishing people with that jump back kick, and that's pretty darn cool. So that's, you know, became a signature kick for me, and it's on there someplace. That's cool. And Tim, the man, Tim was, we were brothers.
I appreciate you guys adopting me and letting me become a Texan. And I really love our history. And please don't go anywhere. I'm going to bring you back in just a minute. And we're going to play the Legends Name Game. This is where I'll say a name, and you get to talk about them. And that's how I'll end this show out. Okay, Steve? Don't go anywhere,
all right.
Okay? Okay, all buddy. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Mr. Steve Selby from Dallas, Texas. One of my old, old Texas friends. Now, the neat thing about this show called Parts Unknown, I'm censored with Professor Gary Lee, I get to talk about a lot of cool things. And one of the visions I had years ago was put together a group of people from all across America and talk about topics that maybe we should talk about, that we shouldn't talk about, but we need to talk about. And tonight, I get to feature that incredible group. They're called the Five. Five incredible people across America. And I get to introduce the first lady of the five. And she is my first lady because she's an 8-3 black belt under the Sport Karate Museum, trained in Shoryu Karate Do, trained with the likes of people like Peter Urban and other people. But also now she trains exclusively in Kung Fu. And she is the legend next year. We missed her this year, but she'll be there next year. And I want to bring her on right now, my dear friend from New Jersey, who lives in North Carolina now, my auntie, Karen Slacker. Yeah. Karen, you there, auntie?
Yeah, yo. Uncle Gary, I am here.
I'm getting better my introductions. I'm getting better.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Well, anyway, tonight's topic is real simple. Of all the accomplishments that you've accomplished in your career, your amazing career, what was your favorite? What was your favorite accomplishment that you feel you've done?
Okay. Well, you had said what was your great moment before, so I'm going to
yeah.
I was thinking about it. One is validation to me is very important. That I walk my talk, or that I know my stuff. You know, I like to I'm a confident person, but sometimes it's nice to be recognized without being asked about it. You know. And I was fighting in a tournament down in Washington, D.C., and New Jersey and Philly used to have a running rivalry with the D.C. group. So it was always tough for us, and we would go down there and never really got treated fairly, honestly. The judging was so biased down there. It was just almost ridiculous, but yet we were in it because we were all going for points for the ratings. We would do these events, and I had a rival down there that whenever we fought, it depended. If I was down there, it was really hard to beat her. And not saying she wasn't very good, but it's just I knew I had to go up against her, and that the chances are is that she was going to be favored. And I remember going all through the weapons and the kata, which she took first place. I took second. And when it came to the fight, it came down to fighting her, I fought better than I ever fought in my life. I mean, I couldn't do anything wrong, and I could not score a point. They wouldn't give me anything. And I could have pretty much stood on my head, and I wouldn't have gotten a point for standing on my head. It was just... It was actually kind of funny because I would fold her up. I would come in with, let's say, what we used to call a hop side kick, come in and just land it, fold her up, and no point. So I just kind of looked at her like, is this okay with you? I just never could understand how somebody could be a part of that. You were hit. You should at least acknowledge the fact that that point I should have gotten. But nope, it was always just flatlined. So after this fight, which she won this on a 5-point spread, boom, 5-0, I'm standing there ready to bow out, and three men that they were important people in the karate world, but not in my world, they walked out onto the floor, and they had a hat with dollar bills in it, and they said to the center ref, we thought maybe we could buy her a point.
That's funny. Well, Karen and Auntie, I hate to remind you, but second place sucks.
It does. I had a lot of them. But these men that I didn't even know to come out and actually have the guts to walk out on the floor and say, come on, guys. Is anybody going to give this poor woman a point? Other one's over there with a swollen eye.
Third place, honey. I've got more third place than anybody in the universe. You know.
I know.
I know what it's like in seconds and thirds, but second place, third place really is terrible. But you know what?
Yeah. Especially when it's fair, I'm fine with it. But when it's not fair, I'm not fine with it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, listen. Thank you so much for your your moment, and thank you for sharing that with me. And I'll talk to you next week, I promise. Okay, honey?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Hello. I'm now the second lady of the five. The amazing group I put together is from Texas. And she was, like Karen back when I used to beat up men. And I say that very openly because I was one of those men that used to get beat up by women. And this lady used to beat them up. She's an amazing lady. It took me almost 3 months just to say her name right. So I want to bring on Lourdes Radulat. Lourdes, you there?
I am. Good evening, everyone.
Lourdes. How are you?
I'm doing well,
sir. What was your best moment, Lourdes? What was your favorite moment?
My best moment was when I fought and when I got my world title fight. During the world title fight, the girl that I fought, 30 years older than her, I was 55 years old, and I had the flu, fever, everything that goes with the flu. I had it for 2 weeks, couldn't even stretch out or get prepared or warm up or anything. And the day before my fight, people were calling me, are you going to be able to fight? Are you going to be able to fight? And I said, you know what? I feel great today. I was totally dehydrated from being too sick for 2 weeks. And I said, I feel great today. Yes, I'm fighting. And so I was really excited, so excited that I felt good. And I had the fight with this girl that had held the world title for years, and she was 30 years younger than me. I'd been sick as a dog, and I took it away from her, 30 years her senior and sick. She beat me. I won unanimously the first round. There were 3 rounds in the fight. And then the second round, she beat me. And then the third round was coming, and I noticed that she wasn't a South Pole fighter. I knew the way that she was fighting. I said, I don't think she knows how to fight South Pole. I'm going to, when they ballast in the third round, I'm going to spin around, jump up and spin around and give her South Pole, see what she can do with it. I wasn't used to fighting South Pole, never had, never thought I was that good. But when I did it, I startled her, which I knew I was going to do that, which was, I did it on purpose. And at that point, I said, God, I said, I handed it over. I wanted to give the winning to my deceased family members whom I loved and held dear to my heart. So when I spun around, I was going to just blitz her, not to give her a chance to even know what was coming. And so I spun around thinking that, hey, I hadn't even stretched out and been sick for 2 weeks. And I said, this is it. It had just hit me. In the second round, she'd punched me so hard in the mouth that I swore the back of my head hit my back. Snapped my head back. My mouth was burning so bad. I was hurting so bad. And I was going like, we were told, we were warned before the fight. We were warned. No excessive contact. Both of you girls know how to fight. Use your control, because either one of you can really hurt each other badly, and I don't want anything to happen. And this judge was notorious for disqualifying for excessive contact, I was told by my sponsor. He goes,
so that was
you
your moment?
The way you're used to. He told me, you can't fight the way that you're used to fighting, because he will disqualify you for excessive contact immediately. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I came over here sick, just been sick. Just come over here, beat the round, lose the second round, and now I can't fight her. And he goes, you know what? She'd been on steroids, and her ankles, he turned around and looked at her ankles, which she was raising her knee bottom so everybody could see them, so she could intimidate everybody. Rusty Gray goes, he was my sponsor, and he goes, listen, I don't think I can let you fight her. Have you seen the size of her ankles? And I said, I'm looking at him. And he said, he had his back to her. And he goes, I don't think I can let you fight her. You've been sick. And she's definitely on steroids. And I don't think I'm going to be allowed to let you fight her. I'm calling the fight off. And I said, no, you're not. I said, you're supposed to be pumping me up and helping me get my gear on because I'm getting ready to, you know what, her booty.
Well, that's an incredible moment, Mortis. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that moment. That's really cool.
Well, I have to finish. I have to finish, sir.
Well,
I have to finish. I just need a couple of more minutes. I'm getting ready to get me at
the end.
You got one minute.
Go ahead.
One minute. So the last round when I spun around and switched sides on her, I broke the world record on her. The world record was 14 held by a man. In 30 seconds, I hit her with 20 kicking bunch combinations. Don't ask me how I did it. But I was pissed about getting hit in the mouth. And I said, I don't want to get disqualified for excessive contact. And I don't want to give her the fight because I don't want to lose it because of excessive contact. I want to win it right. I don't want it to be given to me or anything like that. So, or to her. And so I spun around and I just drilled her, just blitzed her, man. And she could not believe it. She didn't get one point in. And I got her with 20 bunch combinations in 30 seconds, which is the world record.
That's an exciting moment. I appreciate that. I really do. That is a moment to remember without a doubt. Mortis, we'll talk to you next week, honey. Be sweet.
Thank you, sir.
Now, the part of the five is an American hero, recipient of the Silver Star, one of the highest honors the military can award someone. He is an amazing man, a big member of the History Journal of the Sport Karate Museum, one of my advisors, personal advisor, Colonel Phil Torres. Colonel, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
How you doing today, sir?
Doing well, sir, doing well.
Tell me, I imagine you had many moments, but what was your...
My favorite moment was not coming in first place. It was coming in second place. But it is my favorite, my most memorable, because he led to a wonderful relationship with my grandmaster in Okinawa. I had just arrived in Okinawa that middle of the week, I think it was a Wednesday, and I was checking in, getting ready to do my job. This is 1977. Checking in, it was a Wednesday, and I saw a flyer that says Okinawan Karate, All-Island Karate Championship, Saturday. That was three days away. And I said, well, I've been on vacation. I haven't been working out. At least I'm going to go see it. Saturday came around, I brought my gi in, and I decided to enter the All Okinawa Karate Championship. And went through about seven fights. I won all my seven fights. And then it was time to fight the final fight. And the final fight was with the new grandmaster that I had just met. It was with the grandmaster's son, his oldest son. And he was good. And we went at it, went into overtime, and he beat me by 1 point in overtime. And the grandmaster comes up to me after the fight, grabs me, and he said, you're going to train with me from now on. So, and
wow.
Then that was Grandmaster Fusei Kitsu of the Sharinru Kenshinkan style. And he and I developed such a wonderful relationship. I trained with him every week. Every Friday after workouts, we would go to his favorite lounge. It would just be the two of us. We'd go to his favorite lounge, and he would have his sake, I would have my Coke, and we'd talk about karate. So it was that led to a wonderful relationship that lasted through now, and that was since 1977.
Wow, That was a defining moment. I appreciate you sharing that with my listeners, Colonel. God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Well,
and we'll talk to you next week, sir. You bet,
thank
sir.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Colonel Phil Torres, an American hero, part of the five. Now, I have two more people. This next person, we're actually going to honor him next year, in fact, at the Youth Conference with Colonel Torres, myself, and this man. He is the president of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, one of the Hall of Fames that the museum supports, and he's also part of the five. So I'll bring on Dr. John Terry. Dr. Terry, you there, sir?
I am here, my friend. Thank you.
Well, I'm still overwhelmed by my Hall of Fame ring that you sent me. I love it. I love it. Now, tell me your most exciting moment in your career.
You know, the most exciting moment in my career, and I thought of it as I listened to everybody talk tonight, I thought about, you know, many times in the ring winning different events and being a competitor. But to me, and you know me well, Professor Lee, I believe that if all we do as black belts is win tournaments or we earn a black belt and we don't learn the character values and learn what it truly means to be a martial artist and what it truly means to be a black belt in the way we live our lives, I think we fall short. And I think for me, probably the greatest, actually two honors. The first was when the governor of the state of Kentucky issued a Kentucky Colonel's Commission for me in recognition of what I had done with the Hall of Fame for the last several years. And that, to me, I thought was the pinnacle of the career until a couple of years ago when I received the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award for leadership. And just having the opportunity to be recognized for standing up and making a difference in the lives of other people and teaching other people to do the same thing, that to me probably stands out as one of the most important recognitions that I've ever had the privilege of receiving.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that moment, because you certainly deserve the accolades that you received. And I'm excited that I get to honor you next year with your group and the people that I'm bringing to meet you. So we're going to have a good time. So
it's going to be a good time. Sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you real soon. Now, before I bring in the last person on the five, I would like to talk about someone that I've been with now for almost 7 years. They have adopted me, and we're talking about the virtual reality group, better known as SetVR Unleashed. They've actually created my image as a computer-generated platform to beat the crap out of people. I love it. I love it. And I got the inventor, or the co-inventor, on the air with me tonight. It's Rick Shanahan, Marie Shanahan. Man, he's a real doctor. He saves lives. That's what he does for a living. But he's also a 9-3 black belt underneath the Sport Collection Museum. And for the past 6 years, they've gone with me to California, New Jersey, South Carolina, Texas, to introduce this amazing concept of virtual reality. That VR, and I got him on the air. Dr. Lee, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm excited. Tell my listeners a little bit about Set VR Unleashed and where we're at right now.
First of all, I'm so excited about seeing you as the Wisdom Warrior. The image of you in our program is exciting. If our audience can have a chance and take a look at our program, please look into the program. See Professor Garley as the Wisdom Warrior, as he is involved in the program, and actually in a fighting program as well. We see SetVR as a tool to help enhance your skills in self-defense, to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. Just like a tool with a speed bag or a Wing Chun dummy. Imagine wanting to continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want, to be totally immersed in a cutting-edge program moving 360 degrees against an attacker that has been designed to kick your butt and attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks, so you can maintain, develop, and improve muscle memory, timing, speed, and coordination, and the goal of developing a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. As a metaphor, is Professor Garvey always talks about metaphors, placing your hand on a hot stove and taking your hand quickly as a reflex, or if I threw a ball at your face, you blink your eye as a reflex. Or imagine wanting to continue to practice your skills in a cutting-edge program to practice the art of Thai Sabaki, moving angular, linear, or circular to place you in a position of advantage of neutralization against your attacker. With set VR, you will not be actually looking inside to the program. You'll be actually immersed into a simulation program, just like the simulation program for the military and the police department. It's a simulation program for self-defense for martial artists, moving 360 degrees in a cutting-edge program. You've chosen a dark alleyway where bad things usually happen. The hologram will get into your personal space to generate an adrenaline effect. It's during this adrenaline surge, you would normally will have developed a momentary pause, losing 35, 40, 50% of what you've been taught, and whereby using a reflex response or muscle memory will be your only best recourse to neutralize your attacker. With SetVR, you'll be introduced to this program against this virtual reality attacker. The goal is to move angular, linear, and circular to place you in advantage of neutralization. This is a platform where you can continue to practice your skills and cards and forms that you have learned in your schools and practice anytime, anywhere in a program of application to practice against a random attack. We've introduced Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior. We're super excited about that. But before meeting the Wisdom Warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal and then be brought back into the courtyard to meet the core history generals. With that being said, Professor Gary Lee, some words about your vision of virtual reality in the Sports Karate Museum with SetVR.
Well, Dr. Lee, my vision is very simple. Elders and knowledge. And with SetVR, at least, that's what you've allowed the Sports Karate Museum to do. Use those three words extensively. Elders, respect, and knowledge. And I'm excited, too, about what was happening. And, I mean, I became a bubblegum card, I've become a cartoon character with the Karate Whisperer, and now I'm a computer-generated warrior on a virtual reality platform that's around the world. And let me be the first to say this to my public, that you and Rich Shanahan are being inducted into the London Black Belt Hall of Fame next year to put SetVR Unleashed around Europe. So not only have you conquered America with SetVR, now let's go out to Europe, Dr. Lee. Let's tell Europe about what SetVR is all about. Thank you so much for your vision, and thank you for letting the museum be a part of it. Thank you, Dr. Lee. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, did Adam James get on yet? Okay. Well, I would bring on Hansi Bowen. Hansi Bowen, are you there, sir? Okay, I lost Hansi Bowen, too, I guess, maybe. Well,
no, you didn't lose me, sir. I'm just...
Okay, good.
Hello?
Tell me your most defining moment. Tell me your moment in your life that you remember most of all, that was most important moment in your life, Hansi Bowen.
Wow. Wow. Well, I guess that, you know, as you guys were talking and I'm sort of sitting here looking at all my awards, trophies and all this stuff, I guess if I had an exciting moment for me, a turning point, was back in 1981. And it was one of the first events that held 6-foot trophies. And I had won the forms division, and I won first place in the weapons, so I had 2 6-foot trophies. And it came time for the fighting. And Osensei Wellendorf, this was the last tournament he ever fought in. And the following week, I was scheduled to test my second-degree black belt. And so he'd won several matches. I'd won several matches. And then we were into the finals, and he drew a young man whom I had to fight, whomever won that match. And Osensei lost. And the feeling that I had of someone beating my teacher and then turn around and beating me there was no way on God's earth that was going to ever happen. And that was one of the greatest fights I think that I ever had. It was a huge fight. I mean, of people watching this young man and I battle it out, and so I won. So I won 3 6-foot trophies that day. But Osensei never fought again. But to beat me, but to beat my teacher, and then to beat me, that just was not going to happen.
Wow. Well, you know, every week when I think about a question or a topic that I get to ask you guys about, I always ask it to myself. Well, of all the amazing things that have happened in my career, I had to pick out one. I had to pick out this one, being the MVP of Texas when the Golden Greek Award. It took me 17 years to win that award. The first 7 years after Greek died, I lost about 2 or 3 points. For 7 years, and I got frustrated. So I went to NASCA and NBL and USAF and other circuits, and I didn't come back to the AOK. I was mad, and then I came back because of a student of Chuck Norris's, Wade Kirkpatrick. He says, "Gary, let's win the Golden Greek." So I won it in the senior division, and he won it in the adult division, and being the MVP of Texas said to me was most defining a moment, I believe. Now, I would say one more thing. I appreciate Texas so much to our listeners, and you can't really understand unless you do the research of what Texas has done for sport karate. Now, with that said, I'll bring my special guest back on. Steve, you there?
AJ is on too, sir. I think he's on. AJ Perry?
AJ, you there? AJ.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay. Steve, are you there? Steve Selby.
I'm here. I'm not leaving.
Okay, Steve, I'll be giving the name, and you get to talk about for 1 minute. That's how I'm going to close the show out. You ready for the first name?
Yes.
Ray McCallum. You got 1 minute. Now
1 minute.
Seconds. Go.
All right. Ray McCallum. Well, he's an ass kicker, and he's squirrely, man. He comes up with all kinds of cool stuff. It was great, you know. Yeah, and of course you can't be Ray McCallum without without having some Greek in you, you know. And,
yeah, that was my next name. Next name was Demetrius Sabatis, the Golden Greek, the Greek award that I won. Yeah, go ahead, talk about Greek a minute.
I was learning to box when I was a kid from my father, but when I saw Greek, it was like, oh my God, what if you could put karate and boxing together? And this is what I was thinking as a young man. And when I got to train with Greek, it was like, holy shit. I mean, this guy is like everybody else, and then there's Greek, you know? He was just one of those that you can't duplicate, and just was amazing. But I emulated his style so much, and I was like, yeah, he's built like me pretty much, and just a lot of things. And I remember that when he was training me for my black belt. Back in Garland Road down there, that's where it was, and he just took me under his wing, and and beat the living shit out of me for I don't even know how long. And it went on for the whole every day I would go and I'd train with him.
Steve, the reason why he beat the shit out of me because you're a pretty boy. Guy fighters love to beat shit out of pretty boys. You're a pretty boy, that's why. Anyway, Steve, thank you for being on the show tonight. It means so much.
Well, this was great. I had no idea. This is my first one of these that I've done, and it amused the hell out of me. You know, I got to laugh at myself, and you know, and see my my compadres out there and that. So, yeah, that was great. I mean, it was really, really something, and it was a really cool way to end the convention this year, you know. I mean, for me, because, you know, we got back, and then we were back at home, you know. So that was really cool.
I got to spend some time with you, Steve. And I always end it with the same way I started. Where's my sushi? Anyway, buddy, I love you, and I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
All right, man. I really appreciate it.
Now, AJ, did you get on the ladder or you beat your phone? AJ, are you there? Well, I miss AJ and Dean. I know Dean's making movies. AJ's probably knocking somebody out. But I miss both those guys. But anyway, thank you for listening to Parts Unknown on Sister with Professor Gary Lee and our amazing show that's produced by the Elite Publication Company and Auntie Jesse Bowman. And we'll see you next Tuesday, I promise. And every week we end this the same way, because we mean it from the heart. Much, much mahalo. And aloha. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Good night, everyone.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.